身体范畴，So if there are any friends joining us, to ask questions, you may raise your hand, ask directly, or you may also send them via chat. So Bante, one of the questions that I have is, in order to attain path and fruition, do we necessarily need to cultivate all four kinds of satipatthana? And then when does one go from practicing kaya nupassana to vedana nupassana?
Yeah, actually there's a direct references there in the Satipatthana Sanyukta. There is a sutta called Padesa Sutta. So there Venerable Ananda very precisely mentioned that in order to attain Sotapanna, mastering one type of Satipatthana is enough. And if one master all four, no problem at all. Therefore, one can say minimum is mastering one type of Satipatthana if one has to succeed or successfully be in the Sotapanna level, stream entry. But that's the Samanta Sutta, the next Sutta mentions, in order to attain Arhatship, one needs to have good understanding, one's own understanding about all four types of Satipatthana. So therefore, even in the Vedanupassana, in order to recognize all types of feelings, one needs to practice all four types of Satipatthana. But if one masters only Vedanupassana, it may be helpful to attain the first stage, and not only Vedanupassana, any other category, any other foundation is capable of making one a Sotapanna, stream winner. And the next question is related to the how one may transfer or transit from Kayanupassana to Vedanupassana. It's a very natural process. One may start with Kayanupassana and one may develop understanding various, say, element characteristics, rupa, and more one continues that practice. So, immediate obvious result or the inevitable result is one's improvement towards the Vedanupassana. And there is no any kind of a rule telling that you definitely have to engage in Vedanupassana for long time. Rather, it depends on the yogi. So certain people take maximum benefit from Kayanupassana and make some benefit from Vedanupassana and other anupassana. Some may take little benefit from Kayanupassana and switch to Vedanupassana very quickly and take lot of benefit from Vedanupassana. And some may spend some time in Kayanupassana, some time in Vedanupassana, and more time in Chittanupassana. So likewise, there are various differences among yogis. So anyway, the transition is quite natural. Yeah.
Thank you, Bante. And then for the next question, I'd like to invite Indira to please ask.
I sat down for meditation and I was thinking of looking at my, watching my body and waking. And then suddenly what I saw during daytime, that is a child hugging a father and saying, I miss you, Daddy. Mm-hmm. So that came to my mind. And then I was happy because they had a bond. I was looking at it objectively. And then again I felt sad also because I was thinking how far this bond will be. And then I just, you know, there were another thoughts also came, and then, I mean, feelings came, and then I forgot about it. But I realized even in the dinner table, I mentioned this to my family. That means, although I have looked at it in objectively, I realized I had some sort of attachment to it. And then when I got up early morning also, this came to my mind. So how do you explain this, Swami Master? It's with the Paticca Samuppada.
No, basically, I mean, this incident has some impact on your mind. So you, though you are looking at it objectively, there seems to be a kind of an impact on the mind, and you may start to think about it. And rather than simply stopping at the level of seeing, you are now sort of adding something to it, and you have certain emotions towards some incident, and they are now arising, and you are adding your own part, your own interpretation to this incident. But on the other hand, assume that to another person, if he simply sees this incident, that's it. So he doesn't have any kind of a turmoil or any kind of a second thought in the mind. So that is another way. So many people, I mean, each one of us our own likes and dislikes, and depending on that, certain incidents trigger our emotions. But to another person, those the same incident does not trigger their emotions. So in our practice, what we need to do is to recognize these emotions, recognize how we interpret, how we add our own likes and dislikes, our own interpretations to this incident. So that way we can stop proliferating, we can stop adding to it, and keep the mind quiet, keep the mind still, without being disturbed. So that is what I think we need to do, because I mean these things are, I mean not only this incident, there are so many incidents every day happens, and in a way they are the rich field for our practice. So when we see any kind of an incident, are we able to maintain unwavering mind, unshakable mind? Whether it is pleasurable or whether it is painful, are we able to maintain some good equanimity in our mind? So that is what very beautifully mentioned in the Indriya Bhavana Sutta. And again, it is not the ignorant kind of equanimity. Rather, one has to develop vipassana and has to recognize kind of a freedom of mind, free from any kind of an attachment, free from any association. So that freedom, that equanimity has to be maintained as much as possible. So that is our goal. But anyway, mind go and attach, mind go and start to tell a story, mind go and give a kind of interpretation. So that is the nature of the mind. So we honestly have to understand, okay, the mind again go and start to talk, again go and start kind of a rumination. So we need to honestly understand that, and not to promote it, not to promote that proliferation, not to encourage that proliferation, rather recognize it and simply let it go. And calm down ourselves and again establish or re-establish in that equanimity. So that is how we need to continue our practice. Hope you understood. I mean, you have some experience in this as well.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'd like to invite Namoka to please ask your question.
Good morning, Bhante.
Yeah.
Bhante, the first question I have for you is, you just mentioned, you know, the Kaya Nupassana. So, I mean, I'm more used to the Mahasi method. So, you know, how they mindfully, you know, you do everything. But sometimes, say, I'm seated for a while, and then when I'm getting up, I'm mindful of getting up, and then there is painful feeling. So I'm aware of the feeling at the time, and then it might go to Chitta Anupassana and I think, oh, my body is hurting, you know. So when you do Kaya Anupassana, isn't it like picking up a stick? When you pick up one end, the other end also gets up, isn't it? Is that?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's a way of how we look at it. So at the beginning, various element characteristics become sort of obvious. So yeah. So therefore, we are picking it in that angle. But yeah, as you said, it is the feeling is also there. But yeah, we are not giving prominence to it. So rather we are more interested about the details or the characteristics of the hardness, softness. So likewise, we are more focused towards that direction.
Uh-huh.
But slowly these characteristics become sort of less important, and now mind goes towards the kind of an equanimous feeling. It's a kind of a natural switch. But yes, as you said, both are there. From the beginning, both were there. But we are not paying our attention to the feeling side. Rather, we have paid our attention to the element characteristic side, the rupa side. Yeah.
Yes. So, I mean, if I'm seated for a while and I get a painful feeling in my knee, I go visualize my knee. And I say painful, and obviously there is a tendency for how I hope it will leave, sort of, you know, there is that, and I'm aware of that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, basically, so that attitude has to be slowly changed, rather your attitude has to be when there is a painful feeling, so you consider it as a kind of a resource for your practice. So rather than looking at it as an obstacle for your practice, you can say, okay, this is a resource for my practice, raw material for my practice. And now you, even without any kind of a naming, any kind of labeling, noting, you can simply keep your attention onto that painful feeling, and you start watching it with the undisturbed kind of observation is there. Equanimous observation is there, even though the feeling itself is painful, but we are not disturbed very much. We have a fair amount of patience.
That's right.
Patience is there, and we are not worried of having it, and we consider it as a kind of a blessing in a way that it now I have something to observe so that I can improve my mindfulness, improve my wisdom. So that kind of an attitude change has to be happen.
Yes, it does happen. Yes.
Yeah.
And another question I have for you, Bhante, is, you know, sometimes, you know, when I sit and I do dana, panasati, and my mind has gone astray. So then I observe that it has gone astray and bring it back. And, you know, there is a bit of desire to, you know, to continue to be hopeful. And it does happen sometimes. But I'm aware of that desire. Now, is that, for me, I thought just the attempt to keep my mind on the Anapanasati and, you know, to continue to be able to do that for the whole hour, that desire, is that wholesome? Because I'm looking at it towards its desire for liberation.
Exactly,
Is that all right?
Yeah, definitely. So that is why, Buddha mentioned Chanda Iddipada.
Yes.
Even though the practice leads us to the complete eradication of all types of desires, so immediately if we think, okay, ultimately I simply have to let go of all the desires, so I don't need to have a desire to be enlightened or be to free. So that is we are applying the theory, so applying the solution at very early stages, so that way we can't achieve. But on the other hand, Buddha says that in order to achieve the spiritual path, in order to continue one's spiritual path, there are four types of approaches one can take. Chanda Iddipada is one approach where one has a great desire, okay, I should get some benefit from this important or benefit very rare human life. There's a very opportunity.
Yes.
Very rare opportunity now I have. So like that, you have a very strong desire to, so say, become a sotapanna or something like that. So that desire is the one driving us.
Yes, I'm aware of it. So I was wondering, you know, there is. But of course, the desire I have is not, you know, full of ego or anything. It's just the understanding of the dukkha of this life and also towards the liberation. So I have that attitude. I hope it's wholesome.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. But anyway, so at the beginning, this kind of a desire is necessary for us to get encouraged, for us to continue our practice. That is the kind of a momentum we have. But anyway, as we continue our practice, so then as we continue our practice, so our goal and this desire start to evolve. It is not the same level it is maintained, but rather we, at the beginning, our practice was kind of a desire driven, we can say. But later, as our mindfulness improve, as our, say, concentration improve, then slowly, slowly, we can allow meditation to happen. Now we have less desire. I mean, we, of course, have to, we are continuing our practice, but, yes. But we have a kind of a, flexibility. We are now allowing things to happen. We are allowing meditation to happen rather than we are now trying to drive it. We now have a different way of looking at it. Now everything mm-hmm. happens and we are using whatever happens to our advantage in a way.
Right. Yes. Yes.
So now
yes.
it is not desire driven practice, but rather
right.
the practice to understand desire.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Bhante. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you. So I'd like to invite our teacher Devin to please ask the next question.
Thank you. Now, Bhante, I do the breath meditation and then go observe that and see the rising and passing away of the breath when I'm in a concentrated sort of situation. And then when feelings arise, I observe those also, they rise and pass away, and I also observe that and the impermanence. And then I go on to the Dhammanupassana. So I go between those three mostly without, which comes naturally, I think I don't interfere. So I think that should that be okay, Bhante? I mean, I'm not sticking to one thing and going yeah. from one to another. It just happens automatically and I'm just observing. So I think, is that okay?
Yes, that is all quite all right, because we don't need to purposely stay on one. And again, we don't need to purposely jump to another one either. So we have to simply allow naturally flow towards any anupassana. Now, of course, we start with kaya anupassana to the begin with. But as we develop, then we start to experience or to practice vedana anupassana. Doesn't matter. Maybe start with kaya anupassana, then slowly, naturally switch to vedana anupassana. Now we are mastering or simply practicing in both. Now assume that after some time, now it even tends towards the Chitta Anupassana. Now we have three fields to play in a way. So Kaya Anupassana, Vedana Anupassana, Chitta Anupassana, now all three fields are there for us to improve our mindfulness, improve our wisdom. So likewise, practice may start with from very easy to start place, but slowly we are continuing and we may switch to another section, we may improve or naturally switch to another section, another area. So it is quite all right.
Because I mostly have pleasant or neutral feelings. I mean, so far, I don't have these painful feelings. I don't, are not so strong, I think, because I don't feel so much. So so I just sort of can watch for some time, Bhante, and I don't know about the Chitta Anupassana. It doesn't come naturally to me, I think, I don't know. So I just go through the three, the Kayanu and the feelings and the Dhammanu. So if the Chitta Anu comes, then I suppose I can look at it. Is that right? Would that be right?
No, actually, Chitta Anupassana is fairly an early stage of Dhammanupassana, we can say.
Right, Bhante. Okay.
So it's a bit difficult to distinguish Chitta Anupassana and Dhammanupassana, but Dhammanupassana we can say fairly a refined level of Chitta Anupassana, but Dhammanupassana also has some link towards Kaya Anupassana and Vedana Anupassana as well. Because when it comes to the Khanda Pabba, where we need to understand how different types of aggregates are arising and passing away. So that includes the body, that is the rupa aggregate, the rupa khanda, and it includes the vedana, the feelings, it includes the sanya, perception. So likewise, that's why in the Dhammanupassana section, we are in a way getting the maximum benefit of everything, we can see.
So I think in the, one thing you said in your talk, you said that sometimes the mind is temporarily free because we are not grasping to anything, we are observing, and maybe sometimes when the when you have the pleasant feelings, maybe, I don't know whether I'm grasping or not, I don't think so, but it is a pleasant feeling, which is a nice feeling anyway. But when we are going through these processes, I suppose the mind is temporarily free at a time. Is that, would that be right if I said that?
No, that you need to verify. I mean, you need to verify. Now, when we do observation of something, say feelings, for example, some pleasurable feelings are there, say some sort of vibrations are there. So at that moment, we can't say the mind is completely free because there is something to observe. There is something to, we are closely observing. It is necessary. But as a result of this observation, certain knowledges, certain insights are developing. So that is actually conducive to make the mind free. So at that moment, there is nothing to observe, basically. So it's a kind of an empty mind, we can say. Non-grasping mind. So nothing to observe except just be. Maintain that freedom of mind.
That is when the feelings have all stopped, Bhante. Is that right? It's like you come to a level where everything is like equanimous.
Yeah,
yes,
we can
so where
say
you
so.
There's nothing to grasp anyway. Is that nothing to feel and nothing to attach onto? Would that be right?
Yeah, nothing to attach to. Actually, this at the early stages, this happens with some high concentration, because with the concentration, once sort of observing various things, how things are happening, how things are arising and passing away, and with the such improved concentration environment, one's mind get disengaged or unassociating with anything, non-grasping to anything. So, but we need to maintain that concentration, because otherwise when the concentration becomes shallow, then again mind go and grasp. So concentration is very much like a bunker. Otherwise, if we come out of it, we get attacked, something like that. But slowly one's practice is to understand various grasping. Whenever mind go and grasp something, again one understand. When mind go and grasp, say, sound, we understand. Smell, we understand. Taste, we understand. So likewise, continuous understanding of this grasping helps to further refine or dilute various defilements. So that way, even without strong concentration, one is able to maintain kind of a non-grasping mind.
So it would be good also to keep up that level of concentration when there is a period of quietness, if the breath is even fine, to go back to the breath. Would that be good?
No. Not at all.
No.
I mean, you assume that you are in the Vedananupassana. You are observing various feelings coming and going. And since your wisdom has improved because of that practice, assume that mind has completely let go of this grasping, this observation, and mind now wants to be free. At that time, if you purposely go and start to watch breathing, then that is wrong.
So what will happen then, Bhante? You will go backwards then.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that. Because now the mind has the capacity to stay alone, stay without attaching to anything. So we need to promote that.
Okay. So then we are just waiting. There.
Exactly.
We are not going to do anything.
Do anything.
Whatever comes, you watch it. But
yes.
If nothing comes, again you watch it. Right?
Exactly. You simply have to be. That's it.
Thank you, Bhante.
Thank you.
And for the next question, I'd like to invite Kumudini, please.
Devasaranai Bhante.
Yeah.
My question is, I'm requesting some explanation about path and food, the mother father, and the Ratana Sutra talks a lot about it. I would like to please say something about path and food.
So, what the Ratana Sutra says?
Anyway, all those people who have Magga and the Pala, they talk about so many people of, I don't know, I got sort of a little confused about the difference between past and full people. So I would like you to explain about that.
So basically, I mean, these are some controversial. There are some controversial points here, because some say, according to Abhidhamma, some say this path and fruition happens immediately. But mostly the practitioners or the teachers who are more into the vipassana, into the practice side, they say the magga happens first, and after one's continuation of the magga, then the fruition happens. It is not kind of immediate, but rather after long, maybe long or whatever the short or time, it depends on the individual, and then the fruition happens. So one enters the path, one recognizes the path, and then he cultivates the path, and he achieves the completion, and that is the phala, that is the fruition. So that is that I believe, so basically I believe in that, where one may recognize the path, one enters to the path, and one needs to further continue one's path. One has to further cultivate one's path. So then one may become fairly perfect in the path. One can maintain such a path for a long time. One is fairly confident about that. So on such situation, one is now, one can say one is complete in the path, so the fruition has achieved.
So then one knows that one has achieved fruition.
That actually Buddha has given a kind of a criterion to verify. So, because there are high possibility of we going wrong in these kind of areas. So therefore, we should be very careful on sort of putting labels or to say that I have achieved this or I have achieved that. Because it's a kind of a very... turning point in one's life and turning points in one's spiritual life. So therefore, Buddha has given a kind of criterion to honestly reflect whether certain qualities are already developed in one's mind. Say, for example, in the Kosambi Sutta of Majjhima Nikaya, Buddha has given six kind of reflections. And if one continuously do those reflections and continuously one feels that one has a positive answer towards all those reflections, then safely one can say, okay, I fairly is close to there at least. But still better maintain kind of a doubt rather than immediately jump into conclusions.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gante Perwasaranai.
Yeah.
And I believe for our last question, I'd like to invite Darshika to please ask directly.
Bhante, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to give some advice. So when I do the sitting and walking, I go into the 24 and the new treatment. But I have observed three stages, and so one is when the pain is very mild, I can continue without taking any notice, even if the signal comes into my mind that pain has occurred. Here I don't take any my mind to the place and continue my walking or the deeper meditation in the existence and watching at a distance. That's when the pain is minimized. The second stage is when the pain is moderate, with the signal in my mind that the pain has come. And here I have to go to the place where the pain is, and just observe it there, and then I can come back. The third is when the pain is very severe, of course, I try to do, walking, but because the pain is severe, I have to come to the place where the pain is, and then I look at, keep looking at the process because it is severe, and I observe that the pain comes in there because I take it to the end. Then when I take it to the end, then there's another wave coming, maybe from the same place. deeper or maybe slightly different. So I observe these waveforms. And maybe after prayer amount, while then I can come back to the place to my meditation. So what I want to know is, Bantu, is it okay if what I'm doing like this when the different stages, or how would I need to put it?
So basically, if it comes to Vedana Anupassana, so observing various feelings is the primary thing. But the point here is that sometimes we are not face to face with the pain or whatever feeling immediately, because we are not getting that perfect observation very easily. Say for example, pain, the feeling is there. So, but we may be little late to observe it, or we may be little early to observe it, or we may didn't really observe it face to face, so that we couldn't see all the facets of the pain or feeling properly. So, likewise, more and more observation has to happen till we are able to understand all various kinds of facets, behaviors pertaining to the feeling. So as you are doing, if one does not successful, maybe you are switching to another one, so that in order to recognize various facets of the feeling, doesn't matter. Now suppose at a given time you understood now that everything is very perfect. I mean everything as much as possible. Now I am able to understand the minute feelings are there. It is not a single feeling. There are many feelings are there. Everything is very vivid. So at that time, don't switch to another thing.
Yes, I only switch when when there's pain. I don't really go to the place even. I just get a feeling that I got some pain and just observe it differently and continue with my meditation. But sometimes just I have a problem with my nerves, and sometimes I can get very, very, very severe pain. So still, I can manage to do my walking or continue to sit without changing posture. But because the pain is so severe, I try just ignoring. But when I fail, I have to come there, and then I look into the process very closely, so that a long time after a while, only it starts to subside. So I wanted to know if the pain is still coming to
No, actually difficult to understand your question, because there's a kind of a sound problem seems in your side. Anyway, as far as I could understand, we don't need to purposefully switch if everything happens properly, and it doesn't matter how long it takes, because we can't control this whole process. Now when pain happens, assume that you start to watch, and we don't know when it completely disappears. So that is the non-self nature, that it has its own causes and conditions, and as because of them, they start to disappear. But even though we wish it may could disappear, it may not. So rather, we simply have an open attitude. Simply, whatever happens, I am watching. That's it.
Okay.
So, I don't need to control, I don't need even to expect it to disappear, or to expect or to even to have any kind of preference. Rather, I have a very open mind. So whatever it happens, I am here to observe it as much as possible. I have a very open attitude, equanimous attitude towards whatever the type of feeling. And I am simply there and I am observing. I am getting the maximum benefit. I am trying to learn as much as possible from these feelings.
Thank you very much,
Bhante.
Yeah, welcome.
Bhante, so it looks like we have another question. I'd like to invite Udanika to please ask your question. I have a question, which is, sometimes when I'm sitting, for example, when I'm sitting and watching TV or something, doing something with children, I feel like I am watching what they're doing, and I'm watching what's happening around me, but I am looking at me too.
So that is good.
And that happens a bit too often now?
Yes. So that is that actually has to be improved, and that is where I used to say, now when we do engage with various daily activities, we actually are doing that task, but at the same time we have a kind of a introspection happens to our own side, that our we are watching our mind as well, even though the
yes.
even though we engage with an external activity. So that process has to happen continuously, and it may naturally develop through Hasivattana practice. So that is why in the daily practice, this Sampajanya is extremely important, where it is now, say for example, when one practices Anapanasati, so as much as possible, we are secluded and we are preparing a kind of an artificial environment, and we want to engage in that practice. That is necessary at the beginning. But later, so the developed skills has to be incorporated to our whole life, and even when we do another activity, at the same time we have to watch the mind, our own mind. Say for example, when you are talking to someone, so how your mind reacts? Are you feeling any kind of emotions? Are you getting angry? Or that way, even though you are in a conversation, if you are able to step back and watch the mind, how mind reacts, so that is how we have to mostly start to understand various defilements.
Yes, that's exactly what I am doing.
Yeah, that is good.
Practice.
Yeah, yeah.
But lately, I find very difficult when there's few people talking to. I feel like it's a lot happening,
mm-hmm.
and very difficult to.
Yeah.
I don't want to get involved.
This may improve basically. I mean, during a conversation, maintaining a very good understanding or this kind of observation is also difficult. But as you improve, it becomes possible. Say, mindfulness during a conversation is one of the difficult tasks when compared to mindful listening. Say someone is talking at a distant place and some in a kind of a recording is there and you are simply listening. So that there we can say we are doing some mindful listening. But on the other hand, suppose you are face to face with another person and you are sort of in a conversation. At that time, being mindful is comparatively difficult. And at the same time, as you said, now when there are many people are there and you are also in the conversation, at that time being mindful about such situation is even more challenging. So likewise, actually, we have to improve our mindfulness in all these different kinds of situations, and so that we can be mindful. So, and it may naturally grow, as far as I can say. You can't wish it to grow, but rather we are honestly, as we are continuing our practice, slowly our mindfulness starts to pervade, start to enhance, to accommodate all these different situations.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you
very much. Yeah, I think so. Those are the only questions we have received. And you have anything?
Akita Devi has another quick question. Can she ask?
Well, Bhante, can I ask?
Yeah, we can give you 3 minutes.
Yes. No, I only got 1 minute. Bhante, you said the 6 kinds of reflections to the other lady.
Yes, yes.
This was a sutta from the Madhumanikaya. Can you tell me which one is it? I had the book in front of me, but which number or what is it called?
Yeah, it is called Kosambi Sutta in Madhumanikaya. Okay. Kosambi Sutta. I can't remember.
It's a C, yeah?
Sorry?
Kosambi.
Kosambi. K. K-O-S-A-M-B-I. Kosambi.
In
Majjhima Nikaya, there Buddha explains 6 kinds of reflections, how one can know whether one is really a stream winner. A single kind of reflection, single instance reflection, that one has to use these reflections again and again very honestly. Mm-hmm. And if the answers are coming very positively, then we can be somewhat happy about that. At least I am little closer, or at least few of these are positive, something like that.
Yes, Mandy, that's number 48. So it's good to have a knowledge. I mean,
yes,
we are
definitely.
Not force anything.
Definitely.
It's not necessary, because we can see that we are improving
yes.
Little by little with baby steps.
Yes.
But it's good to have a little bit of understanding as well.
Correct.
Isn't it, Mandy?
Correct. Very correct. Yes. Yes.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, bye.
Yeah. Okay. You are welcome. So, okay, then we'll going to wind up the session. So we are listening to certain Dhamma, and again we were engaged in some discussion, and with this we are able to accumulate some merits, and we will share these merits with all the beings. Ittavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ittavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. එතාවතා චම්හෙහි සම්බතං පුඤ්ඤ සම්පදං සබ්බේ සත්තා අනුමෝදන්තු සබ්බ සම්පත්ති සිද්ධියා ආකාසට්ඨා ච බුම්මට්ඨා දේවානාගා මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු සාසනං ආකාසට්ඨා ච බුම්මට්ඨා දේවානාගා මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු දේශනං ආකාසට්ඨා ච බුම්මට්ඨා දේවානාගා මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු මම් පරං ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හොන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හොන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හොන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තියා ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තියා ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තියා සාදු සාදු සාදු